Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Good stuff. I'm glad that you got blessed. I have a word for you today, and I'm going to bring it. I've been doing a series on prayer, and so I'm going to continue that. I think this might be the last one on prayer for now, and I might start a new series next week. I've got a couple things in the cooker, and so we'll see. As long as God doesn't hijack it and have me go a different direction. But yeah, so he's good. What time is it? 11:54, so I have 2 hours. All right, timer's on. So thank you, Jesus, for this time. And I pray, God, the walk away is simple. I'm praying, I'm believing that you're going to leave here with that your prayers will be answered, that your prayers will be more effective, that you will have more of a desire to pray because your prayers get answered, that you can't wait, and that your faith grows and grows and builds on every answered prayer. So I pray, God, that you would do that. I pray that we would be more effective, not just for ourselves, but for others, as we stand in the gap to intercede, that we would see your manifestation, your peace, your blessing. Jesus, when we're preaching, teaching, healing, we want to see people healed. We want to see people delivered. We want to see your kingdom come on this earth. So bless it and bless your word, whichever way it goes. In Jesus' name, amen. So the whole series that I've been doing is based on Robert Henderson started it out with The Courts of Heaven, which was powerful. And then the whole basic principle of just answered prayer, that when we pray and we have more answered prayers, that we will pray more because we see the effectiveness, and that it just builds momentum and it builds faith for the next prayer. Luke 18:1, I was doing a series text out of Luke 18, and it said that how we ought always to pray and not lose heart. So we talked about that. Jeremiah 29:12 says, "Then you will call on me and you will go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." We've got to get our heart in the game. We got to get our heart in our prayers, and we got to get our heart in the game. Have you ever seen people play? Come on, guys, not just guys. Some of you girls like sports. My wife would scream from the stands like a crazy sports fanatic when our boys were playing football. I'm like the one going, "Cool out, baby, cool out. Kill him in Jesus' name." Like, wow. A beautiful Irish woman just goes crazy when her kids, "Take them out." I'm like, all right, in Jesus' name, in love. Okay. But have you ever seen when someone's heart's not in the game? They're trying to do it and they're going through the motions. You can just tell that there's something missing. There's an element missing, and they're just mechanical. They're not really, their heart's not connected to what they're doing. Have you ever seen in a relationship, you're trying to talk to someone and their heart's not with you, and you're like, if you go find your heart, well, let's talk again, because you're distant somewhere. Or they're trying to do something. How about sales? You ever really tried to sell you something and you know more about what they're trying to sell you than they do, and you're like, get away from me. You don't even know what you're talking about. You're trying to sell me something you don't even believe in. You know what I mean? You ever been there? Well, how about when we pray to heaven? Do you think heaven can tell if our heart's in our prayers? Do you think we're snowing heaven? You know, somehow we're like just pulling the wool over the face. Like, it doesn't work. We need to have our heart tied into our prayers, with our prayers. And the last sermon that I preached on prayer, I ended with Mark 11:24, one of the final scriptures in that sermon. And I talked about, in the King James Version, Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I say to you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them." What do you desire? And I just ended saying, what do you want? What do you really want? If we don't figure out what we desire, it's going to shift our prayer life. What do we really want? What do we desire? What do we crave? What do we request? So we talked about desire and passion mixed. We talked about perseverance. And when you mix those, you get answered prayer. But today I want to talk about praying from the heart, with all those things, with passion, with desire, with persistence, but with power and authority. And there's a difference, because people looked at Jesus' disciples and they said, these guys pray. We can tell they've been with Jesus. They pray with authority. There's something coming when they're praying. You can tell when worship is so anointed. It's like you can just worship and kumbaya, or you can do what we did today. There's anointing on the worship. You can tell when there's anointing. And that power and authority comes out in our prayers as well as in our worship when you possess something. So our main text today, and I want to talk about praying from the heart with power and authority. Our main text is 1 Kings 18, 41 through 44. Let's read there. 1 Kings 18, 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up and eat and drink, for there's the sound of abundance of rain. So he just gets done taking out a showdown with him against 450 prophets of Baal, false prophets. So all these false prophets, he has this massive victory here. And then he tells Ahab, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Okay, it hasn't rained in 3 years. And he says, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. He's hearing prophetically, right? I perceive you are a prophet. You know, like the woman with Jesus. It's like, that wasn't hard to figure out. This is prophetically. It hasn't rained in 3 years. And he's saying, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. So the king's like, party. Let's go party. So Ahab goes up to eat and drink. And Elijah went to the top of Carmel and he bowed down on the ground. And he put his face between his knees and he starts praying. Because have you ever done that where you say something and you think, oh God, you better come through because I just said that. You know, you are going to be healed now in Jesus' name. And you're like, you better produce right now. You know what I mean? You say something prophetically and you're like, yeah, God's going to come through. I know what he told me. You're like, did you really? I hope you did because I just said it. So sometimes we say something prophetically and then it helps us pray a little bit more with our heart. But he had a prophetic word, and we need to catch this, that when he had a prophetic word, he had the word of the Lord, it changed the way he prayed. So it says in 42 that Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. He bowed down to the ground. He put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, go and look towards the sea. So he went and looked towards, and he said, there's nothing. And 7 times he went back and forth. Go look towards the sea. He looks towards the west where the rain and the storms come from. He says, nothing, 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 nothing. Go back, nothing, go back. And then on the 7th time, he tells him to go again. And it comes to pass in verse 44, it says, it came to pass the 7th time that he said, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. And he says, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Cloud the size of your fist is rain that's going to stop you? Again, he heard the sound of abundant rain, nothing, nothing, nothing. He only needed to see a little bit. Well, I just need to have the faith of, even the faith of a mustard seed is huge. It's like, we just need to get, what do we really need? Sometimes great miracles come just from a small, quick impression from God. So he had something. That's it. Okay, we got a little size of a fist. Go tell Ahab. He better get rolling here because there's going to be some serious stuff coming. It was prophetic. I can't say this enough. Some of you, you're prophetic intercessors. You not pathetic. Somebody in the back just looked shocked. No, I didn't say pathetic. Prophetic. Okay. Prophetic intercessors, those of you who pray things that haven't yet come, those of you who are praying the heart of the Lord for earth when it's not on earth yet, you need to get into your zone and start praying. God won't do anything unless he does it first through the mouths of his prophets. It's not going to happen. And so we need to just get cut loose of whatever stopped us from praying. You know, I'm a prophetic intercessor, but I was pathetic, so I'll never pray again. It's like, get over your bad self. We need your prayers. God needs you. You know what I mean? God needs us in the battle. He needs everyone engaged. And the prophetic intercessors need to kick in and start engaging and praying and connecting. It hadn't rained in 3 years. Well, I've done this. I've done this for 10 years, 20 years. It hadn't rained in 3 years. But he heard it in the spirit. He told Ahab, he started praying. What if he just stopped praying after the 6th time? I'm not seeing results, I'm not seeing results, I'm not seeing results, I'm not seeing results. I've been doing that prayer meeting for 6 weeks, I'm done. What if he stopped? He didn't stop. And so we need to push until we see it. We need to pray until we see it manifest. Elijah was persistent, he was passionate, he didn't give up, and we need to just keep going and not give up. God said it would rain, and he prayed, and then it broke through. And I just believe that, I just feel like as I was preparing this, that there's some Lazarus situations that God's going to bring forth some Lazarus testimony, miracle. I feel like some of you have let dreams not only just die and put them on a shelf, you've actually put them in a tomb and sealed it with a stone. Some of you have just said, that's it, I'm done. Not one more person's going to do this again to me. I'll never do that again. Quick, boom, put the stone over it. And Jesus is saying, Lazarus. He's dead, Jesus. He stinketh.
Lazarus.
God's calling those dreams to the forefront. Do you want to get to Jesus and say, I gave you a present that you put in a tomb? I gave you a calling. I gave you a desire. I gave you a dream. I thought I didn't hear you.
Lazarus.
God's calling forth dreams. He's bringing them back. You say, no, I went forward in that thing and I got hurt. Lazarus was dead. Are you dead? Jesus called Lazarus back and he was dead. If you're not dead, there's more hope for you than there was for Lazarus, and he came through with Lazarus so he can come through for you. Are you here? I'm hurt, I'm wounded, I'm limping. Get over it. Listen to the voice of God and come forth. Let those dreams come forth. Let those destinies that are just been pushed down, believe in yourself the way he believes in you. Just allow God to take you and resurrect dreams that we've basically just said, I must have just had bad pizza, but it really was God. It's like, we need to know when it's God, but some of us know things were God and we just like bury them. I just feel like God is doing something that, you know, the world is got a forecast. You know, weather people all over the U.S. laugh at San Diego weather people. They do. They joke. They say it's going to be high in morning, low, high, whatever, whatever, low clouds, 78 degrees. That's the forecast 80% of the time in San Diego. You know what I mean? It's like, that's the way it is. It's like there's nothing. But can I tell you what the world is forecasting? That like basically there's a drought. You're all in trouble. You're all going to die. Your seeds aren't going to come forward. Your dreams will never happen. Your desires will never happen. The devil is forecasting a future that's drought. But God's saying, I hear the sound of rain. The prophet heard the voice, I hear the sound of rain. God's prophets are saying there's a sound of rain. God's saying there's a sound of my rain. And I believe God over, I want to believe the devil. And we can listen to either forecast. And I'm telling you now, God's calling something out. Elijah had something that was different. He had something. And there's another guy that's one of my heroes. And I think Elijah was his hero. His name is Honey. And Mark Batterson did a book on his called Circle Maker back in, I don't know, whatever, some years back. And I loved Honey because Honey was this guy. He lived outside the walls of Jerusalem and he was basically respected in the community. He gets his staff and he goes out one day and there's a year of drought. So this was 3 years of drought and Isaiah prayed. And I think he read that and knew the scriptures. And he's like, why not? He goes out with his staff, puts it in the ground and draws a big circle around himself. And then he kneels down in the center of the circle and he starts to pray. And as he prays, he starts to pray and he says, Lord of the universe, I swear before you, before your great name, that I will not move from this circle until you've shown mercy on your children. He's basically saying, look, if you rained after 3 years of drought, we don't need to wait 3 years. You can let it rain now. I mean, Elijah basically is like, if you rain fire from heaven and consume the sacrifice, you can bring rain to the earth. And that faith from that one miracle gave him faith for another miracle. And Honey had faith for a miracle. He goes down. Everybody around him is like, oh, Honey just said he's not leaving the circle. So now he's getting a crowd and all these people are gathering around him. And they come out there and outside the walls. And before it was over, he had thousands of people all circled around him. And this was about a generation before Jesus came. So Jesus actually knew about him because he was in the same location and he heard about this guy's legend. Well, he starts to pray. He draws a circle and all of a sudden it starts to sprinkle. Hasn't rained in a year. It starts to sprinkle and everybody starts gathering. Now it's like, and they're all like, the guy's praying. He prayed. He drew a circle. He's on the ground. And then he prayed. He said, Lord, not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain that will fill cisterns, pits, and caverns. And then something happened. It starts raining like we call cats and dogs. They said the people that's recorded that they said it rained like no raindrops smaller than like eggs. They were like, people are getting pelted. So now you got all these people. Now they're running for the Temple Mount because they're afraid of a flash flood and they're all afraid of dying. You know, So it goes from no rain to a little bit of sprinkle, and then he prays again. He says, no, we need to fill the wells, and you know what I mean? How many of you have been there where you're like, I need a breakthrough, and you get a $20 given to you, and you're like, that was good, God, but I need more than $20. I need a breakthrough financially, serious breakthrough. You know what I mean? He got a little rain, but now all of a sudden it's coming down. Now the people are afraid. They run off to the Temple Mount, but he prayed another prayer. He stayed there, and he said, not for such rain did I pray, Lord, but I prayed for rain of your favor, your graciousness. Are you with me? So now he basically was saying, okay, I prayed and it wasn't happening. And then I prayed, now it's really coming down. But now he said, I'm praying for this rain of your blessedness, your graciousness. And all of a sudden, it just this beautiful, graceful, misty kind of rain just came down constant. And it watered the land so the seeds could come forth and the crops could sprout. And everybody was like, they broke the drought, basically. Are you with me? God will answer our prayers, but he needs some people to have some determination to pray. And then to have it enough authority and power to be able to call out what it is they're actually praying for. If we don't know what we want, we need to figure out what we want. Do we want a sprinkle? Do we want a downpour? Do we want a steady? What do we want? Are you here? Sometimes we pray and someone gets a little healed. I want them all healed. Somebody, they get a little delivered. I want every demon out, not all, just one. If there's friends in there, I want the friends gone too. I don't want a little blessing. We want prosperity. Prosperity, like I was saying, prosperity is body, soul, and spirit. Not just in one way. How about all of it? How about the whole package? And so this thing happened. But my question to us is, okay, this was history and Jesus was around. He knew about this stuff. But what miracles are on the other end of our authority and our power? You say, well, Jesus commended the persistent widow's prayers. And if you think about it, he contrasted her prayers in Luke 18 with an evil judge who answered it. So Jesus is talking about how God, or he's using a parable to contrast God with an evil judge. And he says the evil judge has limited power, has limited authority. And he contrasts it and says, how much more a God with unlimited power and unlimited authority. And the last I read, Jesus on the cross, he was given all authority, all power. And then he told us, go therefore with this. Now go therefore in my authority and my power. So I already said before, as I told you, passion submerged is submitted to fear, yet passion released is greater than fear. We need to release the passion. We need to release the prayers. We need to release prayers with power and authority and passion. We need to release the Kraken, you know. We always joke around, you know, it's like, release the Kraken. Everybody gets in fear. How about when you start praying? I hope devils fear. It's like, oh no, they've drawn a circle. They're praying. We're in trouble. You know what I mean? Or it's okay. They're just going to throw a couple prayers this way. We'll hold them off. Can you just imagine the report back to hell? Ah, no big deal. We'll just hold out a little longer. They'll quit pretty soon. Or are the devils from hell going, oh no, they started praying and they don't stop. They drew a circle. They're not moving until this happens. We're toast. So number one, we need to pray according to the power inside of us. He had a word. He understood. Elijah had a word. He heard the sound of abundant rain. 1 Kings 18:41. He heard the sound of abundant rain. So now he took the word and he held it. He put it inside. Like the psalmist said, thy word I've hidden in my heart so that it may not sin against thee, O Lord. In Psalms 119, 9 and 11, he said, I hid it. I tucked it in. I put it in here. And he talks about that. And he says, how can anyone keep his way pure? And in verse 11, that thy word I've hidden in my heart. We need to take the word. And when we get the word, hide the word in our hearts. It's according to the power inside of us, not just around us. It's not just talking about God. It's talking and praying from a position that the word is in me. And now that I know it's in me, I'm going to pray. And that's what Elijah did. He hit the ground and he started praying according to this. I have a word. He was a prophet. He started praying and he didn't accept no one time, two times, three times, four times, five times, six times. He said, go again. When do we quit? We've got to pray with authority. We got to pray with power and crank it up. I love when my wife was a kindergarten teacher, I was recruited to go on field trips. And I knew it wasn't because of my great skills with kindergartners. I know it wasn't my great classroom discipline. It was because of the daddy voice. I went because I had authority. I'm serious. We got all these female kindergarten teachers. You got over 100 kids at that pumpkin patch in Valley Center. They do not want to gather. But if I'm like, hey, listen up, line up with your teachers. They're like, whoa, daddy voice is on the field. And they would line up. We're down at the tide pools. We got all these kids running around. Ah, and then when you got to go, it's like, I don't know. The daddy voice works. Can I just tell you, like, they know when you mean business. They can tell. How many of you know? How many of you can tell the mommy voice? When they say something and then they say, you little mister, whatever it is, whatever. It's like, that's the mommy voice. And the kid's like, boom, shakalaka, better obey now because something's going to break loose if I don't obey that voice. Because your request just had a certain authority in it. Now, you don't have to scream at a devil, but they can tell when you have authority. You can whisper real soft. I'll never forget, I whispered real soft to a devil. There's a little tiny kid, a little three-year-old. I just smiled and said, I rebuke you, devil, in Jesus' name. And you got to come out with a smile and got down on their level. You don't have to scream at them, but you better speak with authority when a devil's talking to you. You understand? Yeah. Well, you need to pray with authority and learn. Know your authority. We need to know what's inside of us. And when we have this power, it's like we have power inside. We need to pray from that power inside. You say, well, he heard the voice. I'm not a prophet. We're his sheep. And he said, his sheep hear his voice. If you're his, you do hear his voice. You need to learn to train yourself to know the voice of God. I probably see things. God talks to me more with images and pictures. And I feel things I do. There's all kinds of ways God will speak to me. But I see a lot more than anything else. But I know that's the way he speaks. You with me? So whatever it is, Ephesians 2:20 says, now to him who's able to do what? Exceedingly abundantly beyond what? Beyond all you what? All you what? Oh, so, okay. He's to him who's able. He's able, but you got to pray. He's able, now to him who's able to do beyond what you ask. But how do you ask? Oh, please, 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 please. Huh? Are you? Are you doing the, you know? I do believe in spooks. I do. Somebody pull my tail. You know, like, are you praying like a cowardly lion? How are you praying? Because Ephesians 2:20 doesn't say, if you plead and grovel and cry and whimper, I don't think so. He says, according to the power that works in us. So we need to pray according to the power. So he can do it if we will pray according to the power that works in us. That's the power of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and the spirit and joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You've got a sword. It would be like if I had a sword and this sharp two-edged sword. And I'm like, I got a sword. I like swords. I like weapons. Jackson, I mean, weapons are cool. But like, you got to pull the sword out of the sheath. I could just have a handle of a sword and it could be like a fake plastic sword under there. Right? So we have God in us. But until you start praying, you're not taking God out. You're not even opening the cage. I mean, a lion roars. It looks at the ground and whoa, and it goes through the ground for miles. They look at the ground and roar. It's just incredible when we see this happen. I've seen it many times. It's just incredible to hear the roar. But we've got to let our intercession hit and let it be heard for miles. You don't think it's powerful? Oh, it's powerful, all right. Your intercession is hitting the ground and changing the atmosphere of our region. Oh, we want to see it happen in our region. You got to start praying like a lion with authority and power. We need intercessor. We need prophetic intercessors praying and declaring over the ground and declaring over our region. Declare over your children. Declare over your... You need to get a little attitude in your prayer life. You say, well, I don't really like to pray that much because I don't know what to pray. Hey, do you know when you read the Bible, reading is reactive. Praying is proactive. Because we read, we see, we read, it's reactive. But do you know that you can pray the Bible? It'll change your whole word life. If you read the word, stop and pray what you're reading. I'm reading, and then all of a sudden, all power and authority. I'm going to pray right now. I thank you, you've given me all power and authority. I exercise that power and authority right now over this. And our kids shall serve the Lord. I prophesy to my kids, they shall serve the Lord. Prosperity, I will prosper. I prophesy. You need to stop what you're reading and declare and pray. You can pray through the Bible. You can read and pray. Are you with me? There's no boring prayer list. That's a 66 books waiting for you to just prophesy. Even if you just stay there in the New Testament, you can prophesy thousands of blessings that are yours. You need to declare them. How cool. And the next one, number two, pray according to the authority inside of us. Seven times he prayed with authority. You know, some of you say, well, he had authority because he was Elijah. Duh. Can I ask you, what does James say about that? What does James say about that? James 5:17, he said, Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. You say, well, you know, can I tell you what happens is, and this is a good practical one, when you start to pray, condemnation comes on you and says, you're messed up. You have no right to pray and no right to believe that your prayers will be answered. Be real. The devil messes with you. He comes at you with condemnation. But the verse right before this statement that says Elijah was a man is James 5:16. It says, confess your trespass one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then he said, Elijah was just a man. So what he's saying is that a righteous man, and that's the problem, is we think that we're not righteous. I agree with the devil. I don't fight him on that one. He says, he reminds me of my depravity. I say, oh, that's right. I need to go to the cross. Ha! Jesus, forgive me. And now because the blood of Jesus is not me, it's him. Back off, devil. Are you with me? We are the righteousness of God in Christ, but it's God in us. And if anything good is in here, it's because it's God in me, not me. You say, well, he reminds me of my depravity. In your weakness, you will be strong if you know how to take it back to the cross. So if he knows he can play the condemnation card on you, he's going to play that card over and over and over to keep you from praying. But the minute he brings condemnation, if you go to the cross and say, nuh-uh, because there's mercy new every day for me, every morning it's fresh. The blood of Jesus is right there. Father, I forgot that sin, but I'm going to confess it now. Now I am the righteousness of God in Christ. How did Paul say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ? My goodness, you were accessory to murder with Stephen. You murdered all the saints. It says in Acts, he had saints arrested and murdered. How did he do that? He went to the cross and he said, forgive me. Then when the devil said, no, you're a murderer, he just went, that might be who that was, but I've already been to the cross. And if you haven't been to the cross, then you just go, oh, thanks for reminding me of that one. I'm taking that one to the cross right now. Dealt with it. Now I'm back. And you better look out, Jack. Because I brought somebody with me. Because I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And the effective, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. So we need to go to the cross and know who we are and walk in that covering of being covered by the blood. Say, I don't need to do semantics back and forth. I can deal with it fast. However, I'm just trying to be a little animated just to try to help you understand. I don't care what you have to do. Don't let the condemnation card be pulled on you. Because it'll short circuit your prayer life. Another good one is, how are you doing with your wife? I'm heading to a prayer meeting right now. Shut up, woman. You ain't going to get nothing done in that prayer meeting until you get your life right with your wife. It tells us if your prayers will be hindered if you're all at odds with your spouse. You can't even handle the covenant on earth, and then you're trying to go to the covenant in heaven. Why don't you get that one right and come back? That's a thought. I'm just giving you some fuel. Some of you look at me like you want to kill me. Did you just say that? I said that. Just do it. Look, Jesus gave us the authority that Adam gave away. God gave us authority. Adam gave it away. Jesus purchased it with his blood, with a high price. He purchased it. And if you think about it, if you could just have, if you just had an angel follow you and just say, I'm going to write down the words that come out of your mouth when you pray. It's like the transcript of your prayers becomes the script of your life. And you probably will be, what you're praying is probably what you're walking in. Or the reverse, if you're walking in something you don't like, maybe you need to change your prayer language. If you keep walking in something and then you just keep talking about it and complaining about it, maybe you need to change your prayer life. Are you with me? Yes. Because if you pray it, you'll start to walk in it. You say, well, I don't feel like forgiving. My dad abused us. My dad did crazy things. He committed suicide. I hated him when he killed himself. After he killed himself, I said, I'm glad he killed himself. I'd have done it if I could have. I mean, I was so hardened that I was like, it's about time. I had no compassion. I got saved. I wept like a baby. Do you think I felt like forgiving him just because I got Jesus in my heart? I still didn't feel like forgiving someone who was an abuser. I chose to forgive. And when I changed my language to forgive and my prayer life was forgiving, then I could walk in the freedom. The transcript of my prayers became the script that I walked in. Just saying. We don't just pray about it, we pray through something. We don't just talk to God about it. You move from saying, there's a problem, and this is where it is. Jesus identified Lazarus as dead, but then Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, and then there was a resurrection. You don't just pray about it. God, I'm really bummed Lazarus is dead. I'm really bummed Lazarus is dead. Let's talk about how he died, what happened. Sometimes that's why I have trouble like watching the same thing on the I love the news. I love to hear about what's going on, but I can only handle it for so long before I'm like, shut the thing off and let's change the world with our prayers. I don't want to hear over and over and over and over and over what's wrong, because I'm losing time to pray what we need to pray to make things right. So we can only talk about what's wrong so long until we talk about how we can change it. Are you with me? Prayer's not, and one level of prayer is kind of a gripey prayer. It is. It's like, well, I'm really blah, 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 blah. Okay, you've touched something that you're, now let's get to business about it and let's make some declarations based on the promises of God. Let's pray some word of God onto the situation and change it and shift it, and actually you'll walk on it. They say Peter didn't walk on water. He walked on the word when Jesus said, come forth. We need to get the word and walk on it. We need to get the word like the prophet and then walk in it. It's like, let's move forward in it. 2A is authority of agreement. And this is the last one here, is Matthew 18:19. He said, and again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them. Well, there's power in two. Jesus sent the disciples out in two. Some of you are praying by yourself and you just need to hook up and get in a prayer group or get into an agreement with several other people and you'll watch some breakthrough happen. It's like there's power in agreement. There's power in more than one. And so we can see it, 1 John 5:14. Now, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, and I know he's that there's we just need to like be able to understand that there's power in agreement and authority in agreement. That's why the opposite is also true. If you're not in agreement, you lack power. The place of agreement is a place of power. That's the principle. And so when you're in agreement with your wife, you're in a powerful. If you're in agreement with your husband, you're in a powerful place. When you're in disagreement, there's powerlessness. That's where the devil loves to be. That's why he's the author of disagreement. And sometimes you can even agree to disagree, but you can be in agreement. Sometimes we have to come to a point to go, well, we disagree on this, but it's okay that we disagree because you have a right to your opinion and I have a right to my opinion. We both disagree. I'm comfortable with that. Does everyone around you have to agree with you? You're in trouble if that's where you're at. You'll be short-circuited in life. You will be only surrounded with people like you, and if that's the way it is, you're going to be deformed. Because you'll surround yourself with people that are just like you, and God has created a team on purpose so that they will add value and strength to grow you and sharpen you. Iron sharpens iron, but like if you don't rub against anyone, you're not going to get sharp. I can't stand conflict. It's like, what a generation we're raising up that just has a fit if there's any conflict at all. It's like, you know, I want my blanket. It's like, no. It's okay to have a little conflict. Serious, like really. Huh? I love Teresa. Teresa's like Irish. She's like, suck it up, put some duct tape on it. And we have three boys, you know? But I mean, like, we didn't raise sissies, you know? It's like, and I know there's a time when you have to like come alongside, but sometimes you're just whining and you have to identify that in prayers. Am I just trying to have a complain session or am I actually trying to go to the Lord in prayer? Complain sessions, I get it. And you know, I can show you examples. Look at Ezekiel. I mean, there's examples where it starts in a complain session, but God will flip it if you'll let him prophetically shift it into prophetic. And then Ezekiel prophesied and he said, can they live? You know, oh God. It's like, come on. Just get to the, I can just imagine God going, you're good, you're good. Ezekiel, you're good. But I want you to prophesy. Okay, and I'm going to prophesy to the situation. You need to prophesy to your situations. You need to speak what you want to see, not just what's happening. We need to be those who see beyond, pray beyond, and live beyond the normal, because God lives beyond, and God is not intimidated by circumstances. God is not, and we don't need to be afraid of big prayers. If all you do is prophesy grandiose things that never come to pass, you need to bring your prophetic words back to earth. But there's a balance. We need to pray small things and we need to pray big things. We need to make small circles and pray over the little things, but don't be afraid to dream and pray big. Are you with me? We need to pray big because God is doing things. Before I left on this last trip from Africa, the apostle, the apostolic leader we work with there said, he said, please tell your church to tell them how much you're impacting the world. I don't think they understand how much you're impacting the world. And I'm like, I think you guys know that, you know, there's hundreds of art students that are impacting the world. Our worship is impacting and going to break these mantles all over the world. Our missions teams are changing the world. Our college ministry is raising up future leaders that will impact and change and shift the world. It's a bigger picture and we can't get isolated to just our view. There's a big world out there. We need to get beyond our view. You with me? We need to get beyond it and prayer will get you beyond it. And a prayerless life, you hedge yourself in, but prayer will get you beyond it. I love this passage, and I'll end with this. Actually, there's two scriptures. Can I connect them? Ezekiel 22 and Psalms 2. Ezekiel 22, the Lord said this, I sought for a man among who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land. And then it's sad what he said after that, but point is that God's heart is he's looking for people who will intercede and stand on that wall. He's looking for people that will pray and act. And God wants us to step into a place where we actually act on our prayers. And we need to do that. And we need to believe for great things. So I'm so grateful for all the world changers. Right now, there's a team that's in Nepal. Their boots are on the ground. They're out of cell phone range, but they're going from village to village. Pray for them. Pray that they save the right person in a village and a whole village is changed. Who knows what happens when they come back that changes a whole region. It's like, pray for them. Pray that. And right now, I just put your hands out right now. Just put your hands up right now. We thank you for them, God, that you would do mighty miracles and save the right person. That's the key person in every village. That you would heal them, save them, and deliver them. God, that your gospel would go out and impact all of Nepal. That it would go into regions that are way beyond our 12-person team could go into. We thank you, Lord God. Now keep your hand up. He said this in Psalms 2. He said, ask of me and I'll give you the nations. Yes, I want to believe for the neighborhood. We go into the neighborhoods. Yes, I want to believe for our county. I want to believe statewide. I want to believe for our nation. But he said, ask of me and I'll give you the nations. Would you ask of him for the nations? I want the nations. I want you to stand to your feet right now. And I want you just to start to ask. And he said, I'll give you the nations for your inheritance to the ends of the earth as your possession. He said, I haven't been out of the nation. I don't know. Did you sow towards someone who's going? Because if you sowed, then you go. When you sow, you go. You sowed into someone and sent them. There's going to be souls coming back. Their souls are going to come back out of Botswana because you sowed into one of the Botswana team that you're going to see in heaven. There's Andrew's leading a team into the Philippines. You're going to see a bunch of brown faces that are saved because you sowed into the Philippines trip. And you go, I never went to the Philippines. We're going to see faces in heaven and they're going to go, thank you. I'm here because of you. And you're going to go, I never went there. And you said you sent. Like we're a team and you're impacting nations. So I thank you, Lord God, right now. And I just lift a hand up and lift your faith up and ask God, give me the nations. Give us the nations. Summit as a church, from all the different ministries that go out from this place, Lord God. We just thank you, God. Give us the nations, God. Give us souls. Give us nations to disciple nations, God. Give us influence and influencers, God. Impact them, Lord. We ask you for the nations. We ask you for them. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, and right now, put both hands up in the air. I pray that they make big circles. I pray for you right now that you would ask big again. I pray right now, heal them for disappointment. Heal them from being disappointed in prayer and let them ask big. I pray that they ask big, ask big, ask big, ask big. Make big circles. Say, God, for it to rain after a year of drought, I pray you ask big. Ask for things. Ask for things that don't even look like they're coming. But ask big. Don't be afraid. You have to ask small, but ask big. And I just loose on you the blessing of God. You can put your hands down for a second. I want you to bow your heads for a minute. You know, if you're in this room and you say, what's the first point of my asking? I came here and I'm here. And I want to ask you if your covenant with God is good. Do you know you're going to heaven? If you don't know you're going to heaven, what's the point? Why are we sucking air? Why are we on this planet? Why are our feet on a giant dirt clod? Is this it? Is this the end? No. God created you for eternity. You were created with an eternal purpose to live for eternity in a government, in a kingdom that has no end. And I ask you right now, if you don't know that you're going to go to heaven, if you don't know you'll live beyond your days on this earth, The answer is simple. He sent Jesus, his son, and he said that if you believe in him, and I ask you, do you believe that gospel? Do you believe that Jesus Christ, that Jesus was crucified, that he died, that he was buried, and God raised him from the dead? If you believe those four aspects, that's the gospel. If you believe it, you can be saved. So I want to ask you right now, if you're in this room and you say, I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I want to. With everyone's head bowed, would you just look at me then and say, I want to know? I want to know. I don't want to leave here and not know. I want to know. I want to know I'm going to heaven. This is it today. Amen. Anyone else just say, that's me right here. Amen. Amen. Anyone else just say, that's me. You can put your hands down. Anyone else just say, that's me. We're going to pray right now. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. You know, 1 John tells us, in 1 John 5, and he tells us, he says that you can know that you have eternal life. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. And I want to ask right now that you'll ask him to forgive your sins and that we're going to pray that power of God, that he's called Emmanuel, God in us, God with us, that his Holy Spirit will come inside of you and you'll leave with a new power and authority in you and in your prayers. So right now, all around the room, all of us, let's pray this prayer and say, Father, forgive me. Forgive my sins. I receive forgiveness. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your authority. Fill me with your power. And now I'm praying for you. I pray, God, you do what they ask. I pray you fill them with a new power and authority. I pray, God, that you would open up the Bible and let them see it like they've never seen it before again. And I pray, God, that you would bless their lives. I thank you for that power and authority. And I thank you, God, that each one of us has a purpose. And I pray they would discover their gifts and their calling and their destiny. Now I want to pray one more prayer. I pray right now all over this room, God, that you would take and water the seeds. I pray you would water the dreams and visions. I pray you would water those destiny seeds that are planted deep. I pray that you'd call forth the Lazarus situations, but I pray that you water those that just are dormant and haven't surfaced. I pray that you bring them forth, and I thank you for each one who's here in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, love you. Let's get...
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.